Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, and we are diving into a quick rundown of some thoughts that I have regarding some changing landing spots and changing values post-draft fallout. So I'm working on a series for football guys, so I want to break this down to a couple into a series here that I'll go over. So quarterbacks here, Jameis Winston. And I thought this all along, and I was really curious about why they traded up. And I think there was a couple of explanations. Number one, you could say, hey, they traded up because they wanted to get a quarterback. They wanted to get in line for a quarterback. They wanted to figure out a long-term solution at quarterback. And they thought it would be easier to trade next year's pick to this year's pick and then basically be able to use those two picks to leverage into the top 10, and there you go. That would be the solution to the problem. Didn't make a ton of sense to me because I having, especially if you're a team in the top 10 who presumably is going to be in the market for selling that pick, and maybe they're in the market for keeping their options open into the future. Having the pick now didn't make much sense, right? So that theory, while I thought it was possible that they would trade up for a quarterback, that using the steps in the order in which you did didn't make a whole lot of sense to that end, right? I think it'd be easier to move from mid-teens to 8 using a future first to a team like Atlanta than it would, and I'm just using them. I know it's an interdivisional thing, but just that as an example, it's a lot easier to make that move, I would think, with a future first, and you're not tying up your options by including them all this year. So I never thought it was super duper likely, but you don't usually make that trade up unless you're going to do a quarterback. Except if you're the Saints, right? So there was a lot of history there. They'd done, I believe it was Marcus Davenport a few years ago that they traded up for. But they've done that stuff before where trading future first to go up when everyone thought they were going to take Lamar Jackson, they ended up taking a defensive end. So who knows? They operate a little bit differently than a lot of other teams. But I think for Winston, this is a great situation. And you look at him. Again, he's down the board in terms of quarterbacks. A quarterback 23, 9, 10 in the past month or so. And you look at that, that's like in the Davis Mills, Ryan Tannehill range. It's ahead of Matt Ryan. It's ahead of Carson Wentz as well. But you look, it's behind Zach Wilson. It's behind Mac Jones. Behind Zach Wilson by a 3-4 round range. I mean, that's a lot of certainty behind him. And you could say, hey, race to the most future starts very easily for Jameis Winston could win that race. And so he's one that I'm pretty optimistic about, and I'd be on the buy side of. And the good thing about the Saints doing what they did, they gave up future capital. And they locked themselves into not really being able to address the quarterback position in a meaningful way next year because they don't have a pick. And I've seen it kicked around that they think they're going to get compensation for Sean Payton. Right? That would be a theory. It's an interesting theory. I still think even if you get a day two pick, it doesn't really much help you to get a quarterback. So that's sort of my thought there on him. Again, 112, that was about a month ago. Him in a movement. 212 and Tyler Higbee up for Noah Fant in 109. So again, not super expensive. And if you're looking to try and fix the position, upside and a year to two of job security, he's in for a couple years of contract security. It's not much guaranteed next year, but you figure if they are successful this year, there's probably an extension or a rework in the process. I mean, they're the team that's constantly doing that stuff. So all in all, I think I'm pretty bullish on him. Alave, Michael Thomas, they have Kamara. I think the big watch with them is going to be some of their pacing stuff and some of their run pass split stuff. Really run heavy last year, one of the most run heavy teams in the league. And for them to basically go that route in the Jameis era, we have to be careful on that. We have to wonder, is that a reaction to Jameis, or is that just what they kind of needed to do without Michael Thomas? They had additional weapons. I think they actually have, if Michael Thomas is back, they have Deontay Hardy. Deontay Harris changed his name, I believe, to, I think it's a stepfather issue or father. He was adopted. There's an interesting storyline there with his, but I don't want to butcher it. But Deontay Harris, formerly known as Deontay Harris, Deontay Hardy now, and some additional weapons there, Callaway and the like. So I think it's an interesting situation. You just wonder if they go back to some of their passing stuff. A lot of uncertainty there, too, passing scheme-wise without Sean Payton. So lots to look forward there. Patrick Mahomes, a big winner, I think, of this offseason in terms of – I'll just say of the draft. Sky Moore, I like the fit. I think people are overreacting to the loss of Tyreek Hill. I think that they are – thinking that this is a huge, huge loss. I don't think that. I think it is a loss. But when you look at it, teams had taken away Tyreek Hill. They had taken away what made Tyreek Hill and Mahomes special. And by doing so, they basically made it a lot more difficult for that offense to function. This has been a two-pronged attack. Kelce, Hill. By taking away the vertical stuff from Hill, there wasn't a whole lot of counters. Now I think this offense has a lot of counters. They've got a vertical deep threat in Marquez Valdez-Scantling. They got a guy that can operate in the short and the intermediate range in Juju Smith-Schuster. They still have Kelce, and I think they've maybe opened up an opportunity for Clyde Edwards-Helaire to get a little bit more involved in the passing game. They bring in Sky Moore. So I think there's some opportunity there for Patrick Mahomes to actually take a step forward and this passing game to be a little bit more diversified. If you were going to just cap him, going to play too high and say, we're just going to just kill you by making you just take your life away of your offense by just making you hit 6 and 7 and 5 and 8, right? And those are your ADOTs. Those are your depth of targets on passes. It's going to suck the life right out of you. I think this offense is going to be a lot more difficult to do that with. So I find the Mahomes thing really interesting. Again, losing Hill hurts, but I think that they've done a really good job in diversifying this offense and making it harder to guard. It's almost similar to if you get like a kind of a ball dominant point guard and you trade him for a bunch and you have a bunch of guys that just stand still around him. And you make some trades, and instead of having a ball-dominant point guard, you have a whole bunch of guys that can kind of move the ball. None of them are as great as the ball-dominant point guard were, but you have guys that are a little bit more flexible, you know, that maybe they can each do some stuff off the bounce. It makes you harder to guard. I think that maybe the sum of the pieces could actually be better in Kansas City. So again, if Mahomes has fallen to 3, it's great. If you can buy him in existing leagues, that's great too. It's a cheap, I'm not going to say it's cheap Supermax, but it is a gettable Supermax situation right now. Mac Jones, Michael Carter, Elijah Moore, and 113. I mean, come on. Those things are out there. It's not a ton of them, but you have to at least ask. Jalen Hurts, right in the high-end quarterback 2 range. Actually, comes down a little bit, even though we met expectations last year, which is met expectations of cost last year, which is interesting. The addition of A.J. Brown, I think, is a potential asymmetric event. I do think he has a much higher range of outcomes because of the addition of A.J. Brown. Top 3 in the yards per route run database behind Julio Jones and Justin Jefferson. That's career number. So to give you an idea, we're talking really, really high production. So I think with him, Goddard's the same way, right? If you get some volume with his rushing, this is a really, really highly productive situation. One of the best supporting casts in terms of efficiency out there. So if they go, they were very pass heavy at the beginning of the season, and I'm going to do a Phillies special edition later on in the offseason. And we'll talk about some of that stuff. But they did go pass heavy, and then they turned to the run game. But have all season talked about adjusting the wide receiver position. They finally do it. I think early last season we saw what they were wanting to do at the beginning. We could see some of that revisited. One of the more pass heavy teams in the league. Be super, super interesting given all the weapons that he has, what that could potentially be. All right, next up here is Jared Goff. And listen, when Goff was traded, a lot of the speculation was the Lions gained an additional first-round pick in the deal because of their willingness to take on Goff's contract back in the deal. Basically, they ate salary and got more draft compensation. It's been little to suggest it's actually true, as Detroit has gone through two drafts without addressing the quarterback position. They get more weapons. They trade up for a weapon. And it's not impossible to think that they compete in this division. They add some players on defense. They get some guys healthy on offense. And a guy like Sewell takes a step forward. And they hit on, I'm not going to say gold, but some fine silver in Amon-Ra St. Brown. You know, you take a, get a step forward from Hockenson. Right, all of a sudden, like this offense, if you could protect Goff, like he actually has some weapons to throw to all of a sudden, and I think their defense is going to improve. They're like plus 1,200 to win that division. Right, if something were to happen to Aaron Rodgers, that number is going to be a lot lower. So Chicago's not very good. Minnesota, we'll see. I mean, this is a really, really interesting one. So, and I think they have potential outs beyond this year. And the crazy part for Goff, crazy part is if they're competitive and the Rams are competitive, again, they're not going to be picking up in a place to get a quarterback. So I think this is a one where Goff could find himself being pretty, could find himself with a shot after this year, given all the weapons and everything. And listen, that front office was actually attached to him before they came to Detroit. So I would write him off at your own peril in terms of all that. Again, cheap. Think of how we solve problems. 12-11 in startup drafts over the past month. That's quarterback 30. I mean, yeah, right? That's pretty interesting there. So he's one that at that depth I'm interested in because there's a potential multi-year window there if all things go well. Marcus Mariota, again, they could have addressed the position at 8 overall and put him in competition the way that Pittsburgh did with Mitchell Trubisky. They didn't do that. Mariota, right around the Goff line, 13th round or so there. It's mid-quarterback 3 range. I think there's a better shot that Goff's a long-term starter than Mariota is, but both of them are interesting. And honestly, both of them have decent supporting casts, just in terms of the pure skill position. I think Detroit's probably a better supporting cast overall, but both of them have – it's interesting where Goff was last year. Again, we'll see what Jameson Williams takes, how soon he comes forward off of his injury. But if you think about that situation going into last year, it looked pretty bad. All of a sudden, you get Hockenson maybe take a step forward. Amon-Ra St. Brown's there. If Jameson Williams comes back, like that situation is actually good. A lot better than it was last year. And I think maybe you get a little bit more development out of Pitts. Drake London can take a step forward. Mariota is in a lighter situation of that from last year. And the last one that helped himself amazingly, continues to fail up in his career, Sam Darnold. They pass on a quarterback with a 6th pick in the drafts, taking Ike Ekwonu, offensive tackle. They then traded up for Matt Corral. And if it was me and I was like actually intent on winning a championship, my approach would be we're going to start Matt Corral because I don't think Sam Darnold has showed us enough that he's probably not going to be the quarterback of our next high-level contender. And if that's going to be the case, let's pivot right now away from him. We're going to go get a take a shot on a guy that I'm not super likely that he could be, but he could be and be our guy. And listen, if he's going to be there on a cheap deal, take that shot. I doubt that's what happens, because they're going to look at this guy who played all RPOs, and they're going to say, and specifically the coaching staff who's trying to save their jobs, going to say, well, at least let's try and go with Sam Darnold because he's got a better chance to win us games right now. And that's a lesson that we should learn from Dynasty. So Darnold's going to get the opportunity to take a step forward. We'll see how that goes. I'm not super optimistic, but there's a chance, I guess. So those are the quarterbacks that took a step forward. Guys that took a step back, I'll do in the next podcast, and we'll talk about them a little bit more in that show. So that'll do it for this one. And until next time, continue to embrace the variance. We'll talk again very soon.